Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Casselli.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Casselli.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Casselli.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go. Jaguars This Week on a Wednesday evening, the final Wednesday of February. If it were any other year, it would be March 1st, but it's leap year, and so we'll wrap up the month here presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. Full house tonight. Jeff Loggeman's here. Tony Baselli is here. John Osher back from
Ozone.
Indianapolis. And that's Joe Fortunato hitting that button over there.
Can I just pick up where I got cut off at the end of last week's show? Just keep going.
So how was the combine?
It was great.
Believe it or not, wrapping up to
yesterday, didn't it?
Tuesday.
Yesterday was the last day.
I saw a bunch of guys in the Atlanta airport as I was flying home last night,
and
making their way wherever they were going.
You know, I actually watched a large chunk of the combine on the NFL Network, and I thought that their coverage was very good.
The coverage really makes the event.
Yeah. And I thought it was strong, and I think there are certain things that they can do, but I thought the coverage was outstanding, and it was fairly entertaining. It was fun to watch
you
guys
it.
Do what I
you
did a long time ago.
It.
Yeah, he does.
I did.
He watched it last year, too.
How much did you watch? Because I didn't watch one.
How many hours?
Yeah, how many hours?
Probably 4 hours.
I didn't watch
at different times, watching
know,
the different positions.
I didn't watch 1 second. Now, last year, I probably watched an hour of it, but I didn't watch one episode.
You did a couple of highlights. You did it for your own entertainment, though, right?
Yeah, I think partly for my own entertainment, but also because, there are certain guys that I wanted to see.
Right.
Can you glean stuff, though, and this is a serious question, can you glean anything as a viewer of TV? I mean, do they show you enough where you can say, hey, that guy looks...
I mean, it's all a numbers game. I mean, that's what the combine is
right.
For what you can see. But, I was entertained watching the quarterback from Baylor run a phenomenal 40 time.
I'd like to see that.
Right.
Was amazed at the defensive lineman from the 346 pounds.
Memphis, Dontario Pope.
That ran a 4.8 something, 4.89 and a 4.91 in the 40-yard dash, and then bench pressed. I didn't see that part, but he bench pressed 225 44 times.
Okay, my question is this, though.
That's the concern. What does he do?
Here's my question. Played at Memphis. I know this guy, but this is a case study. Played at Memphis.
What's
ran 4.8.
First of all, his name
bench
Poe.
Dontario. Ran 4.8 and benched a house, basically. Strongest guy at the combine, fast, defensive tackle, 330 pounds. Why didn't he make more plays in college? Why isn't this guy?
That's why it's just a piece.
Well, I didn't watch Memphis, so I don't
know either. But
make
I mean, if you're that big and strong,
right.
Aren't you killing people every play?
Well, if he's a first round,
who's
pick?
Blocking him?
Well, I mean, maybe because he's a first round pick.
Is he a first round pick?
Well, that's what they're saying. Yeah,
he has a chance now to sneak into the bottom.
Where was he before?
Mid second. But that's why the really any draft guy, any GM will tell you the combine's a piece. If you see something like that, you go back, you spend the next few weeks studying to see what it is.
Listen, if I can...
And that's all it is.
If I'd have been that fast and run and lifted, been that strong... No one would have... I would have never blocked. I would have been playing D-tackle, and they wouldn't block me.
So did you get
anything... What if you were that... You were slower than that.
No, I was faster. I ran a 4.78.
Okay, whatever.
But I bench pressed about a third of what he did.
You did 225 12 times.
No, I think I did 15.
Okay, but my point is.
Can't you tell?
Could you imagine being that strong? I mean, you were a good.
Hey, by the way, today.
You were a good player, a strong player. Could you imagine being that strong?
Just to let you know, today on incline press, I did 175 pounds 10 times.
I could do that with my shoulder.
These guys are doing 225 on flat bench 40 plus times.
And I practiced against Jeff, so I never played in the game. But during training camp, you go almost full speed.
You guys did.
We did.
Rarely.
Once we did for the first week, and then that was it. But
I was meeting at Camp Coughlin.
Oh, that was, yeah. But you played strong, and I played against guys who could bench.
Way more than I did.
A lot more that had no strength or power. And so I never understood that. And so that's why I've always said the bench press. Here's the best example I have about how worthless the bench press is as a measuring stick
of functional football strength.
Because Leon Searcy had the lowest bench press on the entire offensive line.
but had the most incredible punch that would knock
Jeff, who was the most powerful offensive lineman on the team, though?
Leon.
I mean,
but
I
know, if you had to pick one core weightlifting motion that truly measured strength,
power clean.
It would be the power clean.
Absolutely.
But you can't do it in a combine setting for risk of injury because
and
the technique
and
on those guys is terrible.
And some people don't know how to
and
do it.
And some people have never done it.
Will Tom Myslinski do that? Do they do that still in the
yeah,
NFL?
Yeah, teams do. I guarantee you, Mize will do
that. They didn't do it here last
I think that he.
No, we did it when
we did
we
it
were here.
With Jerry Palmieri under Tom Coughlin, we did power cleans.
Once a week.
More in the offseason than in the regular season, we cut it back.
Yeah, but once a week during
yeah,
the offseason.
Once off a week. Season. And.
Heavy.
That's how Brunell treated
it. But I think today there's certainly an application for that, but you got to be real careful about what you do with that exercise.
But
you have
to
be very controlled.
Controlled, but I think Mize will do it.
Well, I mean, you guys obviously did it in your college career. And you did it in your program.
I was the, just to let you know, I was the University of Virginia power clean record holder when I left there.
Which I believe. So my point
I was
is
not, by the way.
A guy like Loggeman.
Didn't last long.
A guy like Loggeman who's not going to open any eyes at the combine as far as how much he lifts, how blazing fast he was, or anything else, played faster than he ran and was a ton stronger. Because I played against guys who could bench the house and you would look at them. And I would have to be careful because for the game, if you looked at a guy too much, you could almost like, you're like, oh, that guy's look at him. Mm-hmm. He looks like Tarzan. And so then I'd always remember what he played like on the film mm-hmm. and worry about it. And sometimes you look at a guy and go, that guy can't do anything
well,
against me today.
And there
and
are
next
some,
thing you line up and whack. It's like,
there's
huh,
some
here
guys,
we go.
Though, yeah, that, that there are some guys, and it's not very often, but there are some guys that weight room strength did parlay onto the field.
Strongest guy on the offensive line.
Tony,
the strongest guy on the offensive line.
Tony Brackens, is a perfect example of that. Because
he did
Tony Brackens would walk into the weight room and would start working out after you were doing your last set. In other words, you know, once you got 300 and something pounds on there, Tony would start to warm up at 300 pounds. And he played
he was
like
a
that
freak of nature.
On game day. I mean, he was one of the rare guys that had weight room strength and then had game strength.
But who was the strongest offensive lineman we had here early? I know who it was.
I don't know.
Hated him. Who'd you hate more than anyone else?
Brian DeMarco. But he didn't play strong.
Right.
But he didn't play strong. Strong could lift the. I mean, like, monster lifter.
That's a story that could be told all night long.
No, but I don't want to get into that stuff. I'm just talking about.
It's not about him. It's about the strength.
It's
level,
about
right.
the strength. Level. I mean, he was strong. Even if he put his hands on you in the weight room, you're like.
I mean, you had to tell him to back off.
You couldn't even, you mess around, play wrestle. He was like one of those didn't understand that, it's not
how strong he was.
It's not pleasant to mess around because he's strong. Get on the field?
Just a guy.
The second weakest bencher in the weight room was me in the offensive line.
Would you do the 225 reps?
23 times.
23? Not bad. But, I mean, for a 300
not great.
20-pound guy,
average.
You know,
you want to know the funny thing? So I was getting ready for the combine, and I asked, it was a scout or a coach, I said, what do I need to do for the bench press? And he said, anything over 20, no one's going to care. They're going to know you're strong enough. That's all they care about. You proved you can play. If it's under 20, they're going to have – I lifted from the end of the football season till the combine one time in a six-week period. I did push-ups and stuff, but I worked on all the other stuff I wanted to do well at, my speed and agility and vertical jump and that stuff, because I knew I could bench 225. As long as I did push-ups every night, I'd be able to do 225 23 times. If I would have lifted for 6 weeks and really trained hard, I might have got up to 26.
And that's
what's the difference?
I think you have to be real cautious when you look at the combine because – there are a lot of guys that go to those performance-type centers, and they train specifically for the combine drills.
Yeah.
And there are some guys that don't. So, I mean, you got to take all the numbers kind of with a grain of salt.
Turn the tape on.
Some guy may train for that drill. Another guy may train for football drill.
You may all have a
different
answer.
Those teams do turn the tape on now. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
The combine is a TV
That's why it's
event,
only a piece.
And it's great.
But this Demetrius, maybe he ended up being a great player. But he was.
That's the red flag, certainly. He didn't predict.
What's the real value of the combine? You may all have a different answer.
My real value if I was a team is two things. The physical.
Medical.
Medical physical is huge because you get every doc and they're going to find
you. Any GM will tell you it's medical.
Medical one.
Period.
Number two is the one-on-one interaction where I can sit and look at a kid face-to-face and figure out what kind of guy he is.
Okay, because now the drills.
I don't even care about the drills.
Well, because they're going to go do them at their pro day anyway and you're going to have another chance.
I'm indifferent. The only thing I pay attention to the drills, if I have a high grade on a kid, like Sanu, the wide receiver. High grade, film looks like he's great. Red flag, he runs 4.67, 4.65.
And same thing with Kendall Wright from Baylor.
4.61. So all of a sudden, I don't care if some guy all of a sudden stinks at football and runs 4.4. You can have him. I don't want him. If a kid's a great football player and there's some measurable, I remember Richmond Webb. Remember the offensive tackle
for Miami Dolphins?
Made Pro Bowl five times. Good player. He did bench press 8 times.
Mm-hmm. That had That'd like a 40-inch sleeve length.
Yeah, so it didn't matter. But that would be now. But he, one of his things he struggled with, and it was power rush. If you powered him, he had a hard time holding up. So that would have been a red flag. But I would never, ever, if I was a GM, look at the physical stuff and make a determination to move a guy up.
You've been there. How much bigger does this get if they invite fans in? And with NFL Network's coverage, I mean, how much?
I think there's a limit to how many fans they can invite in. I mean,
there's that many people inside?
They can't fill the. Well, no, I mean, you can't put 50,000 people in there watching it.
But you can. Couldn't you fill half of it? Put 20,000 on half.
They had 250, by the way. That was the number that they allowed.
No, but couldn't you have 20,000 on half the size?
250 people.
You could, in theory. I mean, would it get bigger? I'm not sure how much bigger it's going to get. It'd get bigger for those people. I mean, in terms of what it is as an event, you know, you guys both went through. There's a limit time-wise to how much more they can do to feature the players.
No, I mean, it is.
It's huge.
It is
logistical.
What it is.
But
event.
You remember that when they put the draft on TV, people laughed at ESPN. In the early
right.
days. They said, "Oh my God, who's going to watch this?" And now you
everybody.
See, it's become a very big deal.
Prime time.
And I know that the draft has more drama, obviously, than the combine.
Right.
But I.
Well, I don't know that putting
the NFL machine can push it bigger than it is today. How big?
I don't know that putting the fans in there is going to make it a bigger national event. I think it's going to continue to grow as a national event because it's, you know,
you
want to
football
junkies, football, which there's more and more of you.
Yeah. You want to know
that's
how you make
what it is.
You want to know how you make it bigger? Start interviewing start taping the interviews. Start putting cameras in with the GMs and the coaches as they talk to
that
the players.
That will not happen.
I disagree. You don't show it live. There's an editing process that goes on. I could see a day where you see it like real world stuff.
That's not going to happen.
We're going to follow Jeff. We're going to follow Jeff Logan. We're going to follow Robert Griffin III.
That's why they have media day for the players.
We're have a
but
personal.
Here's what would happen if you did that. If you did that, yes, you would have the camera in there, but teams would no longer use that to ask the real question.
No. No, I agree.
It would be
you
very
would have a
transparent.
Okay, now we're going to turn the
very
camera.
Synthetic.
We're going to turn the camera. Just like Hard Knocks. When they did the Jets, you get that stuff with Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan. They knew the camera was on. They did their dog and pony show. And then they had their real meeting when the camera went off. But it was huge. People loved that stuff. I could see a day where they go through it. They follow a player. That player understands. And it gets to the process, and then the camera goes off, and they do real one-on-one.
Certain parts, but I don't think not for those intimate interviews.
Right. We got to take a quick break. Before we go, I was at my son's basketball
Agree
game over
disagree.
The weekend. I was at my son's basketball game over the weekend, and I was talking to one of the guys, and I said I was going home to watch Kansas, Missouri, a big basketball game. He goes, "I'm going home to watch the combine." I said, "Really? Are you that interested in it?" He said, "It's only been 3 weeks, and I'm already jonesing for football," which is, again, why I say you can make it bigger. Just how big can it
Agree.
Go? We need a break. We'll take it now. Return more Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna, right after this on Jaguars Radio. The Jaguars Ready to Rise season ticket owner renewal campaign is coming to an end on Friday. Season ticket owners who renew their season tickets by 5 o'clock on March the 2nd will be able to take advantage of a 10-month interest-free monthly payment plan and be entered into the sweepstakes for a chance to win 2012 season tickets, 2012 road trip, sideline passes, or an autographed Jaguars helmet. For more information, 904-633-2000 or jaguars.com/myaccount. Well, based on...
Just to stick with that before we get back to the combine and other stuff, Friday is a hard deadline. I mean, if you're going to renew your season tickets, do it Friday. There's the last couple years, 2 years ago, we had some extensions because Team Field just kicking off. Last year, we had some extensions because of the lockout. There is no extension. Friday, all renewals must be done because we are going to select a seat immediately afterwards to start allowing new season ticket holders to pick their seats. And if you're a season ticket holder, we want you to stay. We need you. You know, we're excited about this year. Remember, it's not just about no blackouts, it's about filling the stadium this year. But if you like your seats and you want to be a Jaguar season ticket holder and you plan on it, do not procrastinate and say, oh, I'll get to that later. Friday's the deadline. Sign up then. Otherwise, your seat goes back into the pool of the rest of them that people can pick. So I just want to make sure to communicate
the,
that.
The other benefits, and I don't know if you read all these, Brian, but 10-month interest-free monthly payments.
You actually can do 30-30 and spread it over 30 months.
And you also get in the renewal sweepstakes for a chance to win a trip to the 2012 Jaguars road game.
Yep. Sideline passes.
Sideline passes to a home game, autographed Jaguars helmet, and a pair of 2012 additional pair of season tickets.
All those are, I mean,
Jaguars.com/my.
Once again, you know, 633-2000, call for your tickets, or Jaguars.com, my account. Either way, you can go do it. And also, as season ticket holders, don't forget, go get new season ticket holders out there. If you get new season ticket holders, refer a fan, $25 for every General Bowl ticket, $100 for every premium seat ticket that's bought through the 30-30 plan. So renew your tickets and go get your friends to join you. Remember, we need to fill the stadium, every seat. Jeff, I want this place to be back when we how we played when we were here. Every seat was full. The place absolutely rocked. I know as a defensive end, it was a huge advantage for you guys when the place was full because the offensive line had to go on
silent count.
You get the jump, beat that offensive tackle off the ball, and make his life miserable.
A couple notes before we wrap up for news here at the bottom of the hour in about 2 minutes. First of all, a week from tomorrow, the 8th, is the deadline to tag players. Seems like a lot of the players, the big names, are starting to get the idea that they're going to be tagged.
And there's some interesting ones, what's going on.
Some might not, because
City.
Here's the thing that I don't think very many people are paying attention to. A lot of teams have a lot of cap issues. Remember, the salary cap didn't go up again.
Pittsburgh, Oakland, the Jets.
Yeah, the salary cap stayed here. And so one of the
Houston has some issues.
And we'll talk about this after the news. Yep. But in the article, there was an article in the Times Union about how the Jaguars aren't going to be as aggressive in free agency. And that was a big story in the paper. It's not, and I want to talk about why. It's not that there's not a desire to, but there's real salary cap for, and John, you know this, and you've been talking about this, real salary cap issues for almost all the teams because the cap did not go up, and it really doesn't bump up big again until 2014 with the new TV season. With the new TV money.
The cap, the official number, has not been announced as far as I know.
Right, it's not.
But it has
not
been kind of leaked out.
The rumor
I've
heard
is
it's not
going to go up.
Yeah.
So that's why teams are going to have issues possibly.
And they knew that, by the way. They knew it last year when they signed it.
Absolutely.
August, that it was going to stay flat for a
14, it goes through the roof, though.
Yeah, and that's when clubs have to spend the 90% of the cap, right? All right, folks, Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Jacobs Jewelers right here in Jacksonville. We break for news on Jaguars Radio.
You decide.
Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out. Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Told you there were two dates before we broke for news. The first, obviously, is a week from tomorrow, the 8th of March, where teams have to, if they're going to, have the franchise tag applied to players. And then the 13th, which is 2 weeks from yesterday, is the day that the new league calendar year begins, which is the start of free agency.
How fast does this go?
Well, and the free agency, the time of day is different than in years past. It's a 4 p.m. date, whereas in years past it was
midnight.
Which everyone
cheated.
Of course, the phones would ring at midnight. You know, but the most important
date. Done at 12:01
somehow. That's right. The most important date is the 8th, because at that date you'll know what the available free agent pool is going to be when guys get tagged or do not get tagged.
Good point.
And so it's starting to seem like, though, that teams with the new money coming in from the television this year, there is an opportunity for them to keep some of the guys they want.
Well, no.
How about Kansas City and Dwayne Bowe?
Yeah, okay, but there's a few. But, I mean, there are teams.
San Diego can keep Vincent Jackson.
There are teams that. And
Philadelphia, DeSean Jackson.
I mean, that are going to have to. The reports are Pittsburgh has major cap issues. Oakland
has unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And we'll have a hard time getting rid of some of what they. I mean,
they're open.
Pittsburgh can restructure fairly
easily.
Oakland's going to have a much more difficult time.
Jets have issues. I mean, my point is there's a number of teams. Because what I think people. The new CBA gets done. These huge new TV deals get done. All the talk about how good it is for the players, how much money there are going to be for teams to spend, the business model is better than ever. All true. The problem with.
Not yet.
The problem is, exactly, it's not until 2014
right.
when the new money comes in.
I'm talking specifically about the teams, certain though, teams. In areas where the Jaguars are looking.
But the word is in San Diego, they're not going to franchise Vincent Jackson.
Right.
They're not. He's going to the open market.
Right.
They want him to go find out what he's worth.
Dwayne Bowe, though, is likely to get franchised. That's the Chiefs signed.
Yeah, that's the likeliest.
Those are the two biggest, most dynamic playmaking receivers. I guess you could talk about DeSean Jackson being one of those guys. But
I'm not convinced that they're going to franchise him. And if they franchise him, I think they're franchising DeSean Jackson to trade him.
That's exactly what they're doing.
If you were looking at the receiving corps, Loggy, start this conversation. If you were looking at a receiver that you wanted on this team from amongst the notable potential free agents, which one would you want for your quarterback?
I mean, I'd want the best. You know, but, I mean, you got to take into account money.
No, forget money.
Yeah, forget money.
Forget
for
money.
Who do you want?
For just a moment.
If I could pick one you want. Out of
I'll
Vincent
take
Jackson,
Jerry
Dwayne
Rice. Is he available?
Of the notable potential free agents.
Oh, sorry.
Right.
Well, I mean,
Vincent Jackson put on a show when he was here.
Yeah, Vincent Jackson's a tremendous talent. He's got deep play ball ability. He's got size. He's got strength. He's got everything. The only thing that he is kind of on the borderline is age. You know, I mean,
29.
Yeah, and that, you know, you'd love to have a guy 26, 27 that is just starting to hit his stride, and you know, the guy that falls into that category is the guy to me in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy that put up, you know, nearly 1,000 yards with a backup quarterback.
He would be an upgrade, but he is not a one.
I wouldn't take him.
No.
He could help you.
Who would you take?
He would help.
He can run after the catch, and he's very, very fast.
Oh, I like him. Listen, I'm not saying I throw
but
him
he
out of
bed. He is not that guy who's going to make a drastic, unbelievable improvement in the offense immediately.
I'm not going to throw him out of bed, but I don't. I mean, he's not my first choice.
Who is?
It's easy for me. It's Vincent Jackson. Size. So I have a young quarterback, great target.
And that's ignoring everything else. Off the field, money.
No, I'm throwing it all in. Off the field's a risk, where you can structure his contract where you can protect yourself financially.
I don't think he's had an issue, though,
He's not had any issues.
Years,
he was a great kid coming out of college.
But he's not going to sign a contract that protects you financially.
Oh, absolutely. I guarantee you, every team that signs him, it's one of the reasons San Diego worries. Next offense, he's suspended for a year.
True, but somebody will take. I mean,
they didn't with Jared Allen. I mean, I think Minnesota, if I remember correctly, they had things. I don't
gave him $30 million guaranteed.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, you're gonna have to give him a big number.
Right.
But you can put provisions in there that if he violates the league policy, I mean, there's some outs for you.
All right, let's transition.
So, but he's the guy. He is big. He's fast. He has great hands. Big target. He can beat the press. He can run the short routes because he's so big. Has long ball ability. That's the guy I go for.
John, before we transition,
I kind of like Stevie Johnson. I don't think he's going to be available, but Stevie Johnson's a
good
guy.
In Buffalo.
25. He very much has upside and has proven he's got 1,000 yards
forgot
twice.
Him. I like that.
But
it's a good call.
I like him, but I didn't get the vibe at the combine that he's necessarily going to be available.
All right, now here's the question.
It's a good one. I like that.
Thank you, John.
That's the first good thing you said in weeks.
Long time.
Utilizing the idea. And there have been stories this week in the paper, in local radio, that the Jaguars are not going to go and do what the perception is, which is just spend wildly. The owner said he wanted to spend to the cap, and that is a different meaning than just opening the checkbook and knocking it out. So let's just say that they sign one marquee big-time guy, big-time receiver, or Mario Williams if he comes out. Do you go defensive end or wide receiver? I guess is what I'm asking, if you could have one or the other.
Well, I don't know. You got to see what you do with your own first. You know, I mean, you got a couple of your own guys that are, you know, going to be going into a free agent market, possibly. You know, Jeremy Mincy's a guy.
Well, let's back up. Oh, wait. I mean, let's back up. Love Mincy. We have to sign Mince. But let's not throw Mince at this point with Mario Williams and making a decision whether we're going to get the premier defensive end.
Certainly, it would impact decision-making in free agency.
I disagree. I don't think that has anything to do with it. What it would impact me is I'm looking at the draft, figuring out what is deeper, receiver, defensive end, as I build my board, likely scenarios of where guys are going to fall, and based on that, I go either defensive end or wide receiver.
If you can get him, you go Marriott. Because I think Jerry Sullivan is going to make a difference in the wide receivers.
Big piece.
And you are going to be able to get better at that spot.
So you're asking me Mario or Vincent, if you had a choice, one or the other.
Which one would you want?
Mario's a better player.
Mario's a younger player.
And better player. More impactful.
Yeah, I mean, Mario's a tremendous player.
But here's the thing
and
with
you
Mario.
You know what you're getting.
But he's
going to
cost
you're going to have to make him the highest.
A lot of money.
I mean, he's going to be.
He's going to get a Julius Peppers deal.
Highest paid player on your team. Highest one of the highest paid players in the NFL. Well, are you ready to make that commitment?
Well, you tell me.
It's not my money.
It's
I'd love
my
to.
My money, absolutely. It's not my money either. I guess, again.
And no one's going to fire you or I if it doesn't work.
We are operating from the throw the money out.
Throw the money out, Mario.
Just for the moment.
Throw the money out.
And I know
throw
you can't
everything
do
off.
That.
Sorry, Cap. Mario Williams.
But just football.
Mario Williams will be the best free agent of any position in free agency this year.
And it sure looks like he's going to get there because the Texans are one of those
teams.
They
can't franchise
him. Franchising him would cost him about $23 million.
He's the golden ticket of free agents. I mean,
he's the number one. He's the guy.
Because he's also, except for injury, he's without risk.
Oh, gosh. He's a 4-3 defensive end. He's double-digit sacks every year.
Can play right end.
He can play anywhere he wants.
All the wide receivers. It's such a hard position, even in free agency, to find a right fit at wide receiver. Wide receiver is a high-risk position in
the
draft.
Effect.
It's higher in free agency. You
got the diva effect.
Not only that, you have to come in and fit into a system. It's a hard transition.
And I've heard this from people within the Texans organization. Class guy. Great locker room guy. Great teammate. Good in the organization.
I've never really heard anything negative about
him. I mean, talk to them, guys who are in the locker room, equipment guys, people who are, I mean, we know that. Those are the guys you really know, and they love him. Love him. And so, if you throw everything out, he's the best player in free agency. By far. It's not even close.
Which means he carries a hefty tag. Right.
And which means you're going to compete with some
with
of the
everybody.
Big, the guys who write the really big checks at the top of the food
that's
chain.
That's a $50 million guaranteed deal. Maybe 60.
If you had the money, would you do it?
Yes. He changes. Yes.
He changes the
core
of your team.
He changes the core of your team of who you are on defense. I love Mints. Guys like Mints are critical to the foundation of a football team. You got to sign him. And maybe he develops even more. I mean, the way he works, I think he will. Mario Williams, I mean, there's a handful of guys you have to game plan when you turn on the tape on Monday as a coach and say, we got to find that guy and block him because he'll ruin the entire game. I go sign him.
He's a great player.
Yeah, I know. I know you're fond of him. We've talked about him.
I mean, I like him.
For years.
You know, the only thing that I question him on at times is, does he have a motor that goes all the time? And he does not.
Neither did Derek Thomas. And he was a really great player, too, that impacted a lot of games.
But there's been Tony Brackens was a player whose motor didn't go all the time.
But when it did.
He was a fantastic player
when
it did.
Remember the Baltimore game in Baltimore in 99? I mean, when he took over the fourth quarter.
Now, when you look at the great, I mean, I'm talking about the greatest in the history of the game, the Lawrence Taylors, the Bruce Smiths, the Reggie Whites, their motor ran all the time.
But those guys never get to free agency.
No.
Reggie White did twice.
Well, okay. Point it. Different era. Would not get a free agency now.
No, once he did. Once. Philly didn't do that.
All right. Look, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to throw the money out. We're going to throw the draft position out. We're going to talk about guys in the draft in the same vein.
Right.
Jaguars This Week returns after this on Jaguars Radio. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Steinmart. There are 6 Jacksonville locations. Steinmart, more fashion, less price. Full gang here this evening for Jaguars This Week. And we turn the attention to the college draft and ask you the same question. Forget draft position. I mean, think top 10. But forget money for a second. Forget it all. As you look at what you saw at the combine, what you know about college football, and what you've done too, I mean, who do you want? If you could grab one player and put him on this team next year, and you can grab almost anyone, but who would it be?
I'd ask, I think Ozone. You have an Ozone 2.0 draft, mock draft out yet?
1.0 is coming up tomorrow.
Oh, when's 2.0? Yeah. I thought we were at 2.0 already.
So you don't want to give away.
I don't do it until after the combine.
Oh,
because I get so educated at the combine that I'm going to nail this thing tomorrow.
Okay. Well, and your draft is going to be what's likely to be there. So let's ask the question.
Yeah, who are you going to
Who would you pick, if you had the second pick of the draft?
Second pick of the draft. Okay,
forget one for a minute. Because one's luck and you're not going to take it.
Choose Griffin.
You trade number two and get a whole bunch.
Bobby Beathard. The Rams are in a great situation. I sort of like Claiborne. I mean, I like the corner.
For this team.
But if I was picking at two, I'm not sure you can take a corner.
Where you're picking.
It doesn't matter. What team? If you could pick any kid in the draft.
For this team.
For this team, who are you picking?
I'll pick Luck. He's the best quarterback.
Okay. That's fair.
No, that is fair. That's you answered the
that's
question.
That's fair.
Now you have a quarterback. I mean,
if you couldn't have him, who would you have?
Griffin.
Okay, yeah, probably
him. Who would it be?
I'd say probably Claiborne for this team.
How about you? Pick anybody
for
out
this team?
I'm picking the Claiborne's the LSU corner,
yeah.
Right? I'm picking. I'm taking that LSU corner. He's a stud.
He's a good one.
And
if I could pick anyone,
so we're in agreement.
Yeah,
I don't like this.
All right, then come up with something else.
Let me see the board. That's the only thing.
Does he have returnability?
Not like Patrick Peterson.
No, but he's
not
a,
like that.
But he's a stud.
But at a position, you know, at a corner that you can come in and contribute right away. It's a relatively easy position.
40
to contribute
times
right away.
How did that Matt Khalil look, the tackle from Southern Cal?
Not. He didn't look to me like a franchise definer.
He's small. 300 pounds.
He's going to go third, it looks like, but I don't know that he's that guy that makes it. I mean, he's not. Who are the great tackles we saw, Jeff? Pace.
Pace, the guy in Seattle was one of the best.
Walter Jones.
Walter Jones.
A lot of guys
fantastic.
In the late 90s were great.
Ogden.
Yeah, Ogden.
Who else?
But he's not that guy.
Perfect.
How about you, Jeff? Guy that you want for this team.
I mean,
it gives you a lot of.
If I had the second pick of the draft, without a doubt, and you've heard me preach this for years, I would trade down in a minute. And because I believe that this draft, once you get past, you know, three, four,
it's pretty deep.
There's a lot of guys in there that have very, very similar rankings.
And good players.
And I've always believed this. If you can trade down, you're going to be better off because you got more chances to hit. And I think this is a great year to do that. So me, trade down. Get more picks. Come away with, you know, an extra two. Maybe an extra three. To me, that's where what this team needs.
Because the storyline for this draft right now, and I don't know how the GM feels, but at the positions that people think of as need, corner, wide receiver, and there's really not that player in this draft who you say,
you don't think
Claiborne
not,
is. But at the other two positions, at end and wide receiver, people are talking about Copels and they're talking about Blackman, and there are a lot of questions about those two guys.
Nobody really
thinks those two guys are immediate Calvin Johnson, change your franchise type guys.
And that's why I said Claiborne with you, because he's the guy. And listen, I'm not going to.
Very little doubt.
I'm not going to act like I've watched a ton of tape on corners or anything, but you watch the LSU a little bit, and you watch high. I mean, the kid can play.
He's a good player.
And it's unanimous that he is the guy when it comes to defensive backfield. And corners?
40 time was an elite.
4-4? Did he run 4-4?
4-5 he ran, Tom. And right at 4-5.
Oh, that's 4-4. That changes everything. I'm not taking it anymore.
Trading down is where it's at.
I agree with you. Now,
hopefully there will be a team that either wants one of the defensive tackles or wants the quarterback. One of those two positions. Defensive tackles, there are a lot of good ones, and you could see somebody trying to get up to 7 or 8 to get one. But quarterback's the big chance. Somebody wants Tannehill.
We have to hope, as a Jaguar fan, what I'm hoping is that Tannehill is a rock star at his pro day.
Right.
And Seattle and Miami and possibly Kansas City, whoever loses out on the Manning sweepstakes says we have, especially Miami. Miami's gonna say we have to have a quarterback.
But even if he's not a rock star, it can happen because of this. Griffin and Luck are gone. Last year, when Newton was gone, there were three or four quarterbacks, so he didn't have to get up really, really high. This year, Tannehill will be the last guy
and
left for a long time.
And the other benefit of trading down, all the talk this year is about how much you'll have to pay to get up.
Right.
Because of the cost. The cost is not what it used to be in the top end of the first round.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Yeah,
and
you're right.
Exactly. So because of that, you're going to end up getting, I think, more value maybe in any other year than you've ever been able to get.
Well, it looked like the Browns had. I mean, for what they gave up last year to go back, what they got to go back last year from Atlanta, now they have more weapons than anyone, more ammunition to go get what they want.
I think the danger there is that
I think the Rams are going to wind up at 6 after trading out, and they might even want to trade back again. So you're going to have some competition for that trade with other teams around you.
Now, who's going to go get that second pick? Is it going to be Cleveland? Are they going to give up everything for Robert Griffin Jr.?
My money's on Washington.
I was about to say.
I think Washington does that. You heard the combine, the Browns are not quite as serious as that, maybe the Skins are.
Where are the Redskins picking at?
Sixth.
Okay. I was just hoping that they would be a little farther down.
So someone has to trade up with us then?
No, I was hoping that the Redskins would be one down, you know, middle pack somewhere and be willing to trade up because
after last year.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and the Jaguars obviously worked with the Redskins last year, right?
Yeah, they did.
Getting them to seven doesn't fix their problems to get Robert Griffin.
No.
Now, Tannehill, if he has a great workout, if Cleveland backs up, you know, the projected trade with, you know, the Rams. What if Cleveland's sitting there at four and they decide they want their quarterback, and it's not like they have a guy? I mean, unless you believe in the
Tannehill at four?
Yeah. I mean, that might be too high, but what if he kills it?
I'm not sure anything's too high for four. I mean, I think you're going to have quarterback desperation from three through seven. I mean, somebody's going to be desperate to get up into it.
Why not?
That's right.
Push some guys down.
The cost.
They've got him at six here.
Is not high.
Right. True.
I mean, the financial commitment that you have to make.
And if you're right.
For a high-pick quarterback.
And if you're right.
You're right. Bing, bang. If you're wrong, bummer. But at least we didn't sacrifice Jamarcus Russell money.
Well, it's not like the old days, Jeff, quarterback. Where you were wrong, not only bummer, we are now.
Well, the one thing about it is whoever goes up and gets Griffin, they better hope he's good for a while because they're giving up a lot of draft equity around him to get it. You're not just giving up that pick to get it. You probably have to give up three or four picks.
They're talking about the cost being a number one, a future number one, and maybe a second, third. I mean, how would you like to have that?
Sure. But it's going to be.
Is he worth it, John? Is he that good? I mean,
it's the old thing. Luck and Griffin are both worth it if they're that good.
How about Luck putting the same basic numbers physically that Cam Newton did last year?
That was impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive.
I didn't know he was
And he looks kind of sloppy.
I didn't know he was that good an athlete.
I didn't either. But that probably was the third most impressive thing to me at the combine numbers-wise was Luck's numbers. His 40 times.
His vertical.
His broad jump. His vertical. Wow. I mean, we're talking Cam Newton.
Right.
Who's got a UA commercial. You know, exposing the Superman thing, right?
We're next. The UA's going to do one with you and I.
Really?
Yeah.
You better get in the gym.
Hey, real quick, you got a synopsis on this Melvin Ingram kid who's a guy who's starting to show up next to the Jaguars' name in some of these mock drafts.
Might be wondering. He's a guy right now who's projecting a little lower than that. But he's a guy, you know, if there's a gene guy out there, so to speak, I got over and tried to listen to him a little bit when he spoke. Well-spoken kid, very enjoyable to be around.
Positional versatility.
Yeah.
Can he rush the passer?
Probably not the pure pass rusher that you would like.
Well,
but I'm not sure there is one in the first round.
I don't think you take him at seven.
Well, that play that he had where he had, what was it, he got the ball and ran however many yards it was.
He might wind up being the best football player at seven.
Didn't he have a couple touchdowns one game, too? Yeah. Like
that's what I'm talking about.
On a punt return, a fake, and a bunch of stuff. Okay, bye-bye, John.